life. It did amaze me the way it was just like over a, I think it was three different, you uploaded three different prompts and it just came out beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pre-prompting. What I did is I took, I wanted to write a letter for a fictitious dog training book because I love dogs. I thought, okay, we're going to do it. So I said, hey, chat, write me a, I gave a really crappy prompt. Hey, write me an intro for a sales letter for a book called The Doggy Handbook. Yeah, that was awesome. That's a terrible prompt, but this is not so far away from what normal people would do if they come into ChatGPT. This is what they would probably ask. They don't know to say, you are a direct response copywriter in visceral emotional language, writing in the simplistic fashion. They don't know all that stuff. I mean, we took us years to figure out how to talk to the damn thing, but I asked it that. And then it just spit out this absolutely horrid, you know, completely non-human sounding and completely non-persuasive sales letter lead that was just laughably funny.
Right.
I stopped it about like 30, about maybe 50 words in because it was so terrible. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to upload into Data Analyzer.
Hey everyone, this is Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing 30 days of emails and sell and compel. Oh, sure. Let's say that again. 30 days of emails that sell and compel, done in 3 minutes. We're going to be asking, why are prompts not the answer to AI and copy? Why does ChatGPT sales copy sound so robotic and soulless? And how our guest got into copywriting and then AI. So welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. All right. Like I mentioned, today we're talking about 30 days of emails that sell and compel, done in 3 minutes. Our guest is recognized as one of the top copywriters and sales copy strategists in the world. He is a pioneer in the AI copy movement and the creator of the VSL or video sales letter. With decades of experience creating multi-million dollar sales copy and pioneering the trademark pre-prompting, his new AI platform, BNSN or Benson, is one of the most powerful and simplest AI generation tools in the market today. So we're going to welcome in just a moment, John Benson. But first, let's have a word from our sponsor. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. And you can sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and let's welcome John.
Hey.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Norm. How are you?
Really good. You know, it's funny because when I saw you on stage at TNC, you're up there and you got all this energy. And then I just, you know, saw you a couple of seconds ago backstage and it was like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. You know, it's the, my acting background, I think, that came out in both the YouTube channel and on stage. And yeah, it just comes out. So I spent, you know, 10 years as a touring musician. So it's, you know, it is just kind of a force of habit to entertain.
Oh, my son went to a Berklee School of Music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I keep telling him, you know, it was the most expensive way for starving artists. You know, I was doing this and, but he, you know what, he loves it. He's traveled the world. He's played tons of, he's doing it. Like he still does it. He lives in Montreal. He's a jazz musician. And yeah, it's just what a way of life. He's traveled everywhere. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I jazz performance major myself. So.
Really?
It's fun. If you can, it's even more fun if you don't need the money. Like if you've got a side gig, like what we're talking about. And then you can support yourself. I didn't at the time. So it's a lot harder.
You know, when we were, when I saw you on stage, there was just so much. There's a lot of people that I write notes you know, but I was just writing notes when you were up there. I learned a lot. And today, I really want to stress this to anybody who's listening. What I found is a lot of Amazon sellers do not do what we're going to be talking about today. A lot of people aren't even touching AI yet. And I think that's a huge mistake. We've got to get in there. We've got to understand it. And one of the things that you've coined, you've got the trademark on, is pre-prompting. Mm-hmm. So I hear a lot of pre-prompting, but I don't think a lot of people really know how to use pre-prompting or what exactly it can do to bring out the best in your copy. And we'll be getting into that today too.
Yep. Sure.
All right. So let's get into this. Why don't we talk a little bit about your background? And I know you got into copywriting, and then let's talk a little bit about AI.
Sure. So I started in the fitness space in 2004, wrote a book and had no idea how to market it, and just got lucky, met the top fitness marketer, saw an article I'd written and he liked it, and we got to be friends, and he said, "Hey, I'll handle the marketing for this and you just do the book." And I was like, "Okay, this is great." So I just thought that was the way things went. I had no idea how good of a deal that was. But that's how I got started, and we, you know, killed it with the first launch. And then my first exposure to copy was this right here. I was not, I've been writing since I was in high school, but I'd never have written sales copy. I never even heard of it. Didn't even know what it sounded like. So when Tom sent me this 6,000 word magnum opus of a letter, I was like, what the hell are you, what, this is ridiculous. No one's going to read this. Like, who is this guy you're talking about? And he's like, "No, you just got to trust me. This is how it's done." I'm like, okay. I just felt like the same thing everyone has ever read a first time they've seen a VSL or a long form sales letter. And, you know, we did six figures in a couple hours. So after that, I was like, okay, I totally get this now. And I just quit my career that I had been 14 years building on my own. I said, my own company. I literally just gave the keys to the VP of the company and just said, "Okay, I'm going to do this." And that was how I got into it. And how I got into copy was the second book. I didn't have Tom as a partner. And so I had to write my copy myself, and I sucked at it. And it was really, really bad. So like 1% conversions kind of stuff. And that's when I came up with the idea through some friends and through some inspiration of creating the ugly video sales letter, which is affectionately become known as, I guess. But that was for the first book I ever wrote, or second book I ever wrote. And that was the very first VSL. That was the one that ushered in the pattern interrupt, you know, "Hey, this is John, it's my magic jacket," and all this stuff. And that became, "This is Josh, this is a fish." That was one of the next ones. And then the Truth About Abs VSL, and it just kind of went on from there. People started hiring me for VSLs, and I didn't know what I was doing as a copywriter, but I kind of was figuring out the VSL psychology and structure, and that kind of allowed me to write better copy. I didn't know at the time why, but later kind of went and dissected why that was. But so that's kind of how it started. And then I got fascinated with the idea of automating it, because teaching copy is very, very difficult. It's not easy to learn. It's not easy to teach. So I thought, what if we could make software to do this? And I did in 2010. So I came up with the first VSL software called Sellerator back then. And it's called Now VSL recently. And then Benson consumed everything. But yeah, so then branched out to other copy in 2016 with Copy Pro, and doing emails and, you know, everything in the world that you could think of, and basically figured out how to train AI really early on how a language structure was going to be broken down for persuasion. And that's still very difficult for AI to do. It's still not something, if you've ever tried chat, it can sound like radio guy very quickly.
Very quickly.
Yeah. And very, very quickly. And so we've been one of the early pioneers of getting AI to sound human. To sound human is in the direct response copywriting space. So when I say sound human, not like, you know, in writing a book or something, but in this one space, and the results have been pretty tremendous. So that's kind of brings us up to today. And I think that the world is just changing so rapidly, and we're just kind of in a good place right now to kind of help steer the ship.
It was amazing on the example that you gave, where you started off with the copy right out of ChatGPT, then you just changed the prompt, and then you changed it again.
Yeah.
And till it was just, in my eyes, it looked perfect.
Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing what you can do if you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I just want to back up just a little bit. So we talked before the podcast, and I was mentioning that not a lot of the Amazon sellers, at least, are using VSLs or any type of external traffic, mm-hmm. which is too bad. But if you don't know the long form content, we've all seen it, mm-hmm. but why does that work? You scroll for 5 minutes, you finally get to the end. Why, what's the psychology behind it? Yeah. And like, and I'm just curious myself.
Well, for VSLs and sales letters, there's two different psychological modalities going on for sure. So if you're talking VSLs, the reason that worked is that was piggybacking off of the reason why a sales page works. So let's take the sales letter first. Why do these really long sales letters work? Well, if you go back to the birth of this David Ogilvy era back in the Mad Men days, right? He was starting to write, you know, he figured it that, hey, look, I've got a whole page in the New York Times and everybody's doing this, you know, big image, headline, little tag, little bit of copy about that much. And, you know, that was what John Hamm's character in Mad Men was doing. And I was like just laughing, thinking, man, this is the easiest job in the world. All he's doing is writing headlines. We do this, like, you should write the 6,000 words that follow. It's a lot harder. But that's what everyone was doing. And then Ogilvy came around and, you know, the guys like him said, hey, we're just going to write the entire page. Why not just tell the story? Why not just tell everyone everything they need to know about this rather than some, you know, soft pitch, just, you know, reach kind of ad that these people were doing that was very famous at the time. It still is. So the reason that worked is because it was so shocking. First of all, it's like no one's used to seeing that. Next thing you see is it looks like a letter written by somebody. And so you start reading it because it looks like a letter. That's why they call it a sales letter. It looks like somebody wrote a letter. And if the very first paragraph or headline intrigues them, it's like, wow, I'm going to read this. This sounds like somebody, a human is writing to another human rather than some company writing to the masses. So right there is a massive reason why sales letters work. It's a one-to-one communication feel. And so that's massive. The second reason is it's completely disarming. There's no graphics. There's nothing to get in the way of the message. So if the message is compelling, it's like you just can't help but read it. And again, this all assumes one major thing, Norm, and that is that I am talking directly to your pain point. I'm speaking directly to what you want and why you don't have it. If I'm not talking to you in the language that you know, and this is, we can get into this later because that's what we've trained Benson to do. What is their language of their pain point? What is the avatar's language of their goals? Because I'll give you like a silly example, this off tangent here. But like I write a lot in the weight loss, fitness, bodybuilding space because I do all that stuff. And so if I'm writing into, you know, to bodybuilders and I go, you know, if I say, hey, do you want to trim your tummy down? They're going to think I'm just insane. I mean, but if I write to, you know, postmenopausal women, you want ripped abs? I mean, again, same exact goal. They both want to lose weight, right? But how they say the goal and how they talk to themselves, completely different. I mean, could not be more different. And so unless you understand that psychology, if you're selling on Amazon, if you're selling Shopify, e-com, it doesn't matter. Whoever's reading that copy, if that doesn't resonate with them, they're gone. And what we do is with these long sales letters is we write copy that resonates right off the bat using language that they resonate with. We have to do the avatar research, and we used to have to do it. Now we don't, but we used to have to do it. And then that would take days, sometimes weeks to do, you know, like combing through everything from YouTube comments to Amazon feedback to how are these people talking about themselves, right? And then that gets us to the VSL. So why is the VSL so wildly compelling? Because when you look at the long form copy, they couldn't do this in Ogilvy's day, of course, but we can in our day. You look at the heat map of that copy, you'll see that about 7 to 12% of it gets read on average. And that's a good page. Okay, 12% of the copy is being read. A lot of it's being glossed over. There are exceptions to the rule. Okay, so if somebody says, hey, I got 50% on my page. No, it's not 100, okay? It's not even close to 100. So I was thinking, well, if this page works fairly well at 7%, what if it was 70%? What if we could bump it that high? And so we were throwing out ideas on how to do that. And one idea was like, what if I just put one paragraph or one sentence at a time on a and then we were thinking, well, you'd have to click through every page. I go, what if it was a video? What if it was like one sentence, one sentence, one sentence? And then I started this guy really thinking like, well, hey, if it's a video, I did voiceover stuff in college. So I was like, you know, hey, if it's a video, I can get the voice going and I can read it like an actor and get some drama in it. And next thing you know, it put NLP in there, you know, with the red letters and the command terms and all that stuff. And that became the ugly VSL. So why that works is it's hypnotic. It forces someone to read every single word of what you've written up until the pitch. So there's no getting around it. And so that's why the conversions just went bananas when we rolled that thing out for the first time. So that's why, and that's a short reason why. There are other reasons why, mm-hmm. why long form works so well.
Yeah, I was at an advanced mastermind about 6 months ago, and they were talking about sales letters. And they're saying, well, one of the newer concepts is when you get down, like it used to be, you'd look down and you would finally get the pitch. And they're saying, okay, well-known guys, I'll tell you about them afterwards. But they were saying everything up front, what they're going to get, what it's going to cost. And it just gets the people that are tire kickers off right away. And they're not going to scroll through. What do you think about that?
I think if the level of awareness is 5, if you're all the way up to the stage 5 level of awareness, then sure, that could work. But even then, like if you look at like my friend Donnie writes, he has a 9-figure golf company, an insanely successful direct response marketer and copywriter. And he's always at that stage 4, stage 5. They're at the highest level of awareness. They're writing to golfers that know golf inside and out. They're not, if you say, I'm going to teach you how to, so they're gone. They need to be, it needs to be something that's so like, it's going to take your game from here to here, you know, and they've built this massive company doing this. What do they use? Long form direct response video sales letters. They do now. So why do they do that? Well, because you have to get the intrigue factor up super high to get somebody to who's the typical golfer. You're looking at usually business people, executives, even they're very busy. They need to be really intrigued. So it depends on your avatar. If your avatar fits that very, very narrow niche of just give me the information, and I'll buy it. That's great. If I have a pill that cures something, and I can say this cures X, and I'm not saying say that because it's not compliant, but of course I need very limited copy. I just need a headline, you know, this pill cures X, you know, well, great. You know, cures toenail fungus or whatever the hell it is. Then it's over. That's all I need. I don't need a lot of copy for there's no story that needs to be told. There's nothing. But if I have an approach to, I'm making up toenail fungus, I have no idea. I've never written for it. But if I have some unique approach to toenail fungus that doesn't involve a pill, and I have to tell a story, it's like, here's why you should never take a pill for toenail fungus. There's something much better. The ingredients are in your kitchen. It'll take you 5 minutes to make it. And the pharmaceutical companies do not want you to know. Now, I'm just making this up, right? But you hear this story. Well, there's no way to tell that story in that little headline space that you're talking about. It's impossible. You have to actually tell someone a story and they're going, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Okay, I've got this problem. I can fix it without leaving my house. It's going to cost me way less money. And oh, by the way, those pills will kill you. You know, I can just go on and on and on here. But so it depends on the market. But for the most part, you know, that copy does not work unless you're at a very high level of awareness.
Just, it was hilarious that you picked toe fungus because I had a client and that's what he was selling. And no we way. Had to write no a way. Press release or a blog article once a week. I am an expert on toe fungus. Ask me anything. And I, no but way. For like a year, we had to do this every week. We had to come up with a blog article or a press release on something about toe fungus.
No way, man.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like that. That's too weird, man. It's like a, okay, I'll try to be careful on what I pissed on. I had to make sure that it wasn't my wife. Yeah, so that's okay. So underwater basket weaving, but yeah. So I think that if you show me a page that the short copy that's like okay, I'm selling this, I'm offering for this much money, and here's what you're gonna get, and go buy it right now. And I'll beat the crap out of that with something that's either short form, medium form, or long form. Short form for me, that's not even short form. That's just like a, that's almost like an ad. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then because I'll find some hook that they haven't thought about. I'll find some position that that will intrigue the people that are not buying. So I'm interested in the people that are not buying it. They're just not convinced. So that's what I'm interested in.
You also brought up a really great point, which I know, you know, half the audience kind of rolled their eyes at because we talk about it too much, is about understanding your audience and that avatar and spending the proper time understanding who you're marketing to, because you might be, you were just talking about it before, for the, you know, for the moms compared to the fitness people, completely different messaging, but well, it's the same message. It's just done different ways. Right. And I wish a lot of the new sellers especially would properly go through and create an avatar. It's so important, or multiple avatars depending on what you're selling.
Yeah, I let me just give you something really quick that anyone that has a product online that that's you, if you sell to more than, like, in other words, if it's something that anyone over the age of 25 to 75 could take, let's say it's a supplement, it doesn't matter what it is. If you were to take, just think about this for a moment. Let's say that let's take something benign. Let's say it's magnesium. Okay. So it's very, you know, people, almost everyone's magnesium deficient because it depletes due to stress. Our foods are pretty low in magnesium. And so you make this case very simple. Okay. You need to supplement with magnesium. What if you just change that same, the same brand, and you spend a little bit more money and you change it to, let's say it was called Mag Life or whatever. And then you put over 40 Mag Life, and then your copy reads magnesium for folks over 40. That's all I did, was add an over 40. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it wouldn't work for people that were 25. I just said over 40. And then I created a second brand. It's like Mag 25. If you're 25 to 35, this is the ideal. And then now, what am I doing? I'm just hyper segmenting my audience. Okay. I'm saying you don't even change necessarily the ingredient list. You just talk directly to them. You're not saying it's only for them. Here's why it's perfect if you're 25 to 40. I'm just making this up. And you just list off the reasons. You're probably active. You're probably under the greatest stress of your life because you're trying to build your career. You're doing this. That's why your magnesium levels are low. What about over 40? Well, I can go into the whole age decline. You know, as we get older, our bodies deplete more magnesium. I'm talking to two different, completely different sets of people with the same exact product. No difference. None. And if you think, oh my God, that's marketing. No, it's not. Just go find another job, dude. If you think that there's a problem with that, you're in the wrong business. Let me tell you, I'm just telling you, if you don't know what Midol is, you should look it up, because Midol is no different than ibuprofen. And there's a lot of examples of this. Okay, why don't they say ibuprofen for women? Well, because they're targeting, hyper-specific targeting women with menstrual cramps. And that's a huge audience, right? So it's essentially ibuprofen. So, and when that became known, by the way, from what I understand, Midol's a brand name. They changed some of the, they added one little thing in there, but the active ingredient is still the same. So my point is that people do this all the time because they're trying to talk to somebody's specific pain points and their specific needs. They're not trying to say like, oh, this is, they would never say, oh, this works better than ibuprofen because X. Now you're into dishonesty. I never said this, don't take this other magnesium because it doesn't have X, Y, Z. I just said, hey, if you're 25 to 40, this is the perfect magnesium for you because of X, or this is the perfect supplement for you because of X, Y, Z. Yeah. So yeah, you need to know your avatar really, really badly.
Yeah.
Really badly. You're leaving so much money on the table by not knowing your avatar, or not knowing how to market to specific avatars.
So we're getting towards the bottom of the hour. So if this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, we always have some giveaway at the top of the hour, and it's called Wheel of Kelsey. All you need to do to enter is hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, or tag two people to get a second entry. And John, what do we got today for giveaway?
Well, I'm going to give you, if you got ChatGPT and you want to get some avatar research done much faster than we used to do it the old fashioned way. I have an even faster way we'll talk about in a moment, but this is called the Buyer's Roadmap. So this is training that will walk you through three videos to how to use ChatGPT along with all the pre-prompts and prompts and commands and refiner prompts. that you'll want to use. And that will, this will help you get some information that we're talking about here. So, and get to know your avatar, but way more than that, we'll give you ideas on how to market to them.
Awesome. All right. So if you're interested in that giveaway, hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, tag two people, and we'll have a second, or you'll get a second entry. Now, I do have a read, a shout out today, Kels. So we'll do seller basics. All right, here we go. Hey, Amazon sellers, ever faced with account suspensions, ASIN hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian, which is $99 a month, or code NORM, $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys. And there's no long-term contracts, and you can cancel with just a month's notice. View Seller's Basics at Amazon Accounts Health. View Seller Basics as your Amazon Accounts Health plan. And you can check them out at sellerbasics.com. Now for the fun stuff, here's the disclaimer. Seller Basics is not an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary, and membership is needed before events leading to claims, and terms apply. All right, now let's get back to John. Okay, so now let's get into some of this interesting prompting. First of all, I guess the first question is, why are prompts not the answer to AI copy?
Well, okay, I think most people listening do not want to become prompt engineers. If that's not you, then maybe this is not going to be for you. If you have a poster of Sam Woods on your wall, who's a fantastic prompt engineer, awesome. He's a great guy too. I, as a copywriter and somebody that is fairly well versed in creating prompts, can tell you that prompts are extremely important. Obviously, much more important than prompts is what goes before them. And you can't prompt your way to great copy. If you're just trying to prompt, and I mean, when I say prompt, I mean in kind of in the colloquial sense, if you can even say colloquial with AI, it's been around for what, 6 minutes, but in the colloquial sense, people think of a prompt as a command. Write me 3 emails for blah, 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 blah. That you can't get your AI will not deliver good copy that way. That's not what narrow AI does. And that's what you're working with all the LLM models, which are large language learning models, like Chat and Grok and even Claude, although Opus is pretty cool. They're not trained to give you really compelling copy because that's super, super niche specific, right? They're trained on the entire internet. for all practical purposes. So if I wanted to train someone to be a great copywriter, I would not say read the internet, because most of the internet has crap copy. Right, so it's not a good starting point. So if you're trying to prompt your way there, you have to get around its inherent crap output that it's going to do. And then that means you have to know exactly what to ask it and how to ask it. And AI is pretty damn tricky when it comes down to figuring out how to get it to do what you want it to do. So it's not only the best way from a time point of view, that you just don't want to figure out how do I talk to this, you know, this learning machine. It's not ideal from an output point of view, because AI it's not natively as creative as you would think it would be, the narrow intelligence that we were dealing with here. It's much, much better at modeling, refining, working on something that you've already given it. But now you're back to a very big problem of having to find everything that you want to give it and know how to tell it to model something. So this gets into a technical conversation. Chat tried to cure the problem with allowing people to create their own GPTs. Maybe you've seen this. Yep. Maybe you have some of your own. The problem with that is people, unless you're, again, a prompt engineer, you're going to have some issues with GPTs because and for copy, especially. And then we get the biggest problem of all, and this is a huge problem. Unless you are a copywriter or know copy really well, you have no idea if what chat or any other AI is giving you is good or not. So that's true of a human copywriter, but you have one big advantage. You can say, oh, he's written for so-and-so at XYZ. It's probably good. It's definitely not going to be bad. It doesn't mean that's going to work all the time, but you're starting from this really good place versus chat, you have no idea if you're not trained in copywriting. all you see is the words appearing magically, and that can really bamboozle a lot of people because it's pretty cool, right? Well, how do you know it's good? Well, the only way you know it's good is you have to test it. That's the only way any copy is actually good or not. It doesn't work, right? But if you were starting from a point of where, okay, I know this is modeled from something that is making $1 million a month or whatever the number may be. I know this is looking at only the best copy in the whole world. Well, then at least it's coming from a modeling source that you know is much, much more likely to be good than something that's pulling from the entire internet. And that's what you're doing with prompting. You're asking it to dive into its resources. And, you know, and people have tried all sorts of things around this, by the way. They've said, write in the style of Gary Halbert. People use this. People send this to me all the time. I told it to write a VSL lead in the style of John Benson. Look what it wrote. I go, yeah, it sounds nothing like me. Absolutely not. I would never say this. This is not even close. And they even would upload, like they would upload like VSLs that I've written into, because you can do that now. You can upload documents and say, look at the document and analyze it and then write this in the style of John. And it's like, do you want to so-and-so? Then you're going to need so-and-so. It's like that. That's the worst copy on the planet, unless you're a 1950s radio guy.
So how do you even get started to understand this?
Well, I've been doing it 10 years. So it's, diving, not intentionally. It's kind of like copywriting. I didn't start that intentionally either, but I was trying to figure out how to get software to replicate human copy. And we started in the most rudimentary way you can imagine. But it's also the most important step of the entire process of breaking down language into sentences that would be universal. For example, today I want to help you goal so that you can avoid objection. Okay, well, that works for anyone. I don't care who it is. I don't care what, if you sold dog training, if you're a weight loss guy, it doesn't matter, toenail fungus, it does not matter. That sentence would work for anyone. So we were taking simple sentences like that and saying, okay, if that's a simple sentence, how do we look at complex sentences that have all these variables in them? And how do we break them down? And how do we make it applicable for everybody? And that's how the whole thing started. And then that was exactly how large language models are best trained. Turns out that they learn better when you break it down for them first and then say, here is an example output, and that's what we're doing in pre-prompting. We're breaking things down and we're giving them examples and we're giving it an example or two or four or five and getting it to think inside this very narrow constricted container of copy.
So again, I'm going to go back to the TNC stage, just watching you, and you use that example. Can you describe it? I know we don't have slides, but can you describe what you did to bring that copy to life? It did amaze me the way it was just like over, I think it was three different, you uploaded three different prompts and it just came out beautifully.
Yeah. So that was pre-prompting. What I did is I took, I wanted to write a letter for a fictitious dog training book because I love dogs. And I thought, okay, we're going to do it. So I said, hey, chat, I gave a really crappy prompt. Hey, write me an intro for a sales letter for a book called The Doggy Handbook. Yeah, that was awesome. That's a terrible prompt, but this is not so far away from what normal people would do if they come into ChatGPT. This is what they would probably ask. They don't know to say, you are a direct response copywriter in visceral emotional language, writing in the simplistic fashion. They don't know all that stuff. I mean, it took us years to figure out how to talk to the damn thing. But I asked it that, and then it just spit out this absolutely horrid, completely non-human sounding and completely non-persuasive sales letter lead that was just laughably funny.
Right.
I stopped it about maybe 50 words in because it was so terrible. So I said, okay, I tell you what, I'm going to upload into Data Analyzer, which is in ChatGPT, in beta, they have a little plugin. I think it's out of beta now. But so I said, I'm going to upload a sales letter that I know is good because it was written by Benson. And so I know this works. We modeled J. Abraham and we output this J. Abraham letter for a different J. Abraham letter. So it was kind of cool. And so I uploaded this and said, look, in this style, follow the patterns that you can deduce from this style. Now write me the doggy letter And the output was even worse. It was like it completely ignored me. It was like, oh, I can. And we made sure it was following the stuff. You know, it read the document, it understood it, and so it was just like, yeah, just terrible. Now I could extrapolate this and build a GPT and all this kind of stuff. If you've got weeks to kill, knock yourself out, right? But so finally, what I did is I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this into a pre-prompt. I'm going to put this into a set that breaks things down into multiple components. Now, this is where it's going to get a little techie. The good news is you don't have to do any of this with Benson because we do it all for you. But what you would have to do is you'd have to say, okay, given this set of data, and we start with data, because remember, it is artificial intelligence and it will solve for X. So just remember the phrase solve for X. And this is what we figured out like 2.5 years ago working with, before GPT-4 came out, we figured out working with Jasper and other AI companies, hey, if we get it to solve for X, it'll follow the patterns rather than saying follow the patterns of X. So in other words, we turned the pattern into an equation. And even though AI sucks at math, so you can ask anybody about this, it's the worst problem in AI is math, but it's good at solving simple problems, just not complex math. Now, GPT-5 is going to be phenomenal at math, but that's another conversation. So we asked it to do this. We said, okay, we have data. And here's the data. I had to go through the sales letter and say, what's the niche? Well, the niche in J. Abraham sales letter was finance or entrepreneurship. Who's the avatar? Entrepreneurs. What's their primary goal? To earn enough money to retire. What's their second? I had to break all this out. And I broke it out into 5 or 7 main compartments, even though the sales letter had like 30. I said, just to give you an example, I'm just going to do 7. And then I'm going to say, here's an example output. Example output. J. Abraham's lead. Then I said, I put a little divider, a little caret, and then I said, data, dog training, dog lovers, primary goal, stop my dog barking, you know, whatever it may be. And then said, output, colon. And that was the solve for X. So in other words, it just followed a pattern. It saw data, output, but the second output was blank. Okay. Now that's a very simple rudimentary pre-prompt. So that's not even I didn't even ask it anything. I just stuck that in there and hit enter. And next thing you know, it's writing like J. Abraham. Well, it's actually writing like Benson, who wrote for J. Abraham in this particular example. So that's an example of pre-prompting. That's one of the many things that Benson does on top of other things that are far more complicated. But that's essentially what we figured out 2.5 years ago, that the only way AI can get good copy is if you pre-prompt it, at least in my opinion. I mean, I'm not, by the way, as it gets better and better, GPT-5 may be, you know, miles above this by the time this, mm-hmm. you know, by the time it comes out. I mean, that's the nature of progress. But right now, as it stands right now, yeah, it just won't give good copy, in my opinion, unless you do this. You can always spot the chat copy. And I'll say one more thing if I can. We've done this with copy from Benson. We'll copy and paste like 1500 words, and we'll use different AI analyzers. And you know, there are analyzers that say how much AI is in this copy,
right?
Almost invariably it's zero. It cannot tell that it's AI. So it's like, if you ask chat to write something for you and you pop it into AI analyzer, it'll be 100%. It will tell you, because there are certain patterns that it just recognizes and it just can't spot it when you're using this model. And so using this framework, doing it. So this way of doing it. So if you combine pre-prompting with, I'm going to get a little technical here. If you combine pre-prompting with split prompting, with nested prompts, with training models, and with command prompts. So 5 different things that we do in Benson, you get copy that sounds amazingly human. And that's what we do. That's how we're doing it.
Wow. Okay. So I'm curious. I have nothing to do with Benson. I don't have an affiliate. I just want to know, what do you have to do? How much do you have to lay down to get Benson?
Okay. Well, this is the good news part of the show, I think, but at least it is in my eyes, because my wife was, much to her chagrin, she's our director of ops as well as my wife. And she's like, you're freaking nuts for doing this. This is insane. This is your life's work. You should, you know, be charging thousands of dollars for this. But we're in MVP mode, which is minimal viable product. So But our MVP really should be bumped up to beta now, because I'll show it to you in a second. We're kind of not minimal. It's doing some pretty cool things, but I just wanted to keep it, you know, until we get it all the bugs worked out. So we sold it for $4.99 and $49 a month. So for $4.99, you get in, and then $49 a month, every month after, for unlimited use. So there's no tokens, there's no word counts, there's no project limits, there's nothing. We don't even think of it as AI. In fact, the coolest thing about Benson, I think, is the fact there's no prompts at all. So when I tell you that prompting is not the way to do this, we trademark promptless AI, because this is, you don't use any command prompts at all, at all. So, and what comes out is I can write a sales letter with a Google search. So it's just crazy that what it freaks me out sometimes to watch what Benson can do, but it's been trained specifically for this. Unlike, you know, there's other copywriting AI out there, and I'm not trying to bash my friends, because I know the guys that run this, and they're pretty much like an interface between them and a few prompts that they've created in OpenAI, right? And I'm not saying it doesn't have its usage here and there. What we're doing is really, really different. I mean, when we hired data scientists to finally come on, when we started growing, they're looking at this going, man, what the hell are you doing? This is so weird. It's like, why does this work? Well, it's not normal, because I'm not a data scientist, and we just kind of hacked the system, I guess you could say, but it's working real well. And
it's not much. Like a flat fee, which $500, mm-hmm. and then $49 a month.
Yep. Yeah. The $500 is pay to play, and then $49 a month.
At $49, wow. Oh, yeah. You know what? And
it will stay, but that's our MVP pricing. It won't stay. I promise that's not what we're going to keep selling it for. But yeah.
Well, you know what? You'll see somebody signing up very quickly, Kelsey. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's kind of freaky. I mean, I'll show it to you without a net. I'll do it live. That's why, if we're that confident in it, it's pretty cool. So just let me know.
Well, yeah, I'd love for you to come back too, because I know you're short on time today too. And we've been talking about a whole bunch of different things, but let's just talk about the average seller. Mm-hmm. And so they're not using Benson, and they're looking at ChatGPT, and they've heard this podcast. What can they do to get out of that robotic, you know how ChatGPT will just ooze out this robotic sounding, you know, response. Is there some simple things that listeners can do to get around that?
I hate to be so negative on chat, because I do love chat for the things that it does. There's a prompt that we use. When I say that the Benson's promptless, let me make this very clear. We're sending tons of prompts. And if you're a data scientist, we're sending tons of prompts to the back end, to various, not just OpenAI, but Anthropic or whoever we're dealing with. You have to, but for our users, it's promptless for them. So that's where that comes from. It means you don't type in a command. You don't say, hey, I need you to do blank, because we don't want them to have to figure out what they need to do. So with that in mind, we have what we call a refiner that says, make this warmer, talk like a real human. Our refiners are kind of funny. Kill the Poet's one of them. You know, it's too freaking poetic. Kill the Poet. You're not fucking Byron, man. So we like to have a little bit of fun with this, because it's not an AI company. It's a copywriter. So just think it's irreverent. It's supposed to be. One of our refiners is called Smartass. It's very funny. But it gets so you can use the things like that. Which it doesn't work as well in chat, because it's not just a prompt. We're sending other stuff with it, but it's close. So you can ask it to like get the copy that you've written and say, rewrite the above, but sound more like a human being, or talk to me like I'm a real person. And if you just play around with the real person persona, that helps. If you start in ChatGPT telling the AI what you want it to be. It's like, today you're the world's greatest direct response copywriter, or you're the world's greatest, you know, e-com copywriter. Okay. So now you're going to do XYZ. So you just give a little bit of a framework for the AI to follow. And then the commands that we found to be the most beneficial in chat is, let me see. This is not word for word, but it's like, use the simplest language possible. Use every word as simple as you can, but write emotionally, viscerally, and compelling in a compelling way, something to that effect. So play around with those kind of things. And then again, AI needs to be refined. After it gets done, then you say, that's great. Now rewrite this and make it sound even more human. Make it sound like, talk to me like I'm a human being.
Right.
And then it will sometimes say dumb stuff. And it's like, it's chat. It's going to say some dumb stuff. But it's going to get you closer to the, to what you're looking for, but it's going to take you, this is assuming you're starting with something good, by the way. If you're not starting with something good, it's going to just put lipstick on a pig. If you're starting with something that's been pre-prompted and you've got a good copy or you like it and you just like it, maybe it's in your style, then these things really can help. But you'll have to run probably two or three refiners. We call them refiners. They're mm-hmm. refining prompts on it to get it to sound what you want it to sound like.
Now, do we have enough time to run a quick demo?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we do that? And we've got three questions. You've got to be out of here at 12:55, right?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we should have enough time then.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I could do, we'll have enough time to at least build a quick blueprint. So I tell you what, do you have, since your audience is e-com, oh, by the way, I should say, we trained Benson entirely on DR, direct response. And starting since odd timing next week, one of my good friends is one of the top e-com guys in the world. He is gifting us a lot of training for Benson for e-com. Oh. So the rest of this month, we are training Benson on the top e-com stuff in the world, which I'm really excited about because if you're getting in, you're getting in at good times. But yeah, so just a little FYI. But if you can give me like any sort of site, it doesn't matter what it is, like an e-com page, anything, I'll show you something kind of cool. Just drop a link in here.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So yeah. Let's go. This is,
that way I don't know what it is and there's nothing up my sleeve. So
there you go.
Okay, cool. All right. Oh, tell me this is about dogs.
You said you like dogs.
Awesome. Okay. Okay. This is great. Okay. So here's the e-com thing about dogs. Okay. So dog beds. Okay. Okay. Dogs, 5 reasons to love our beds. Okay. So this is about dog beds. Okay. So there's hardly any copy on this page at all. Right. It's just, you know, it's dog beds. Right. So I'm just going to copy this. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've never done something with this little copy. So I'll just keep going. Okay. All right. So I'm going to copy all this. The Benson, we're going to create a blueprint here. And pause. Let's see how many words it is. Okay. We give you up to 300 words. We don't want you to write that much. You can type this in. You can go to a competitor's website. This is great if you're an e-com. Like if you're selling a supplement and you know this supplement's killing it, go to their website, copy, paste, and it will create a blueprint. It's not going to sound like them because the copy will sound differently, but it will give Benson a lot to go on. So let's see what the AI creates. What is a blueprint? A blueprint is the optimal language for your avatars. Okay, so it's going to create one for every avatar, and then you can segment your avatars later. We'll kind of do a general blueprint right now. But this is super important. How should I talk? Who are these people I'm selling to? What's the number one, two, three, four audience I'm going to sell to? How do they phrase their goals, their dreams, their complaints, their fears? And all I do is sit back and, you know, if you don't really have time to grab a cup of coffee, because it'll be done before you're done getting back here. But boom, it's already done. Now what you're about to see was developed by training it on thousands and thousands and thousands of how we do this. So I'm just gonna scroll down here because this is all about you. So it's kind of saying, hey, if you want to tell a little story, this is about you. Buyer, niche is pet products, pet accessories.
Oh, are you sharing your screen?
Oh, my bad. Really? Okay. I'll just repeat the whole thing again. Yeah, my bad, guys. Sorry, I'm not used to StreamYard at all. So we're just going to start again. I will just nuke this blueprint and I will share my screen in 2 seconds. Okay, so share my screen. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see. Select window of screen. Give me 1 second, guys.
Yep.
I'm not used to this at all. I don't think that's it. Let me just say entire screen. How's that?
Okay.
That neat little Zoom effect, I'm sure. Okay.
There we go.
Okay. So let me know if you can see this website now.
I can see you.
You can see me.
Yeah, it says a screenshot of Lunch with Norm. Does not show the...
Okay, then I just don't know how to... Let me see if I can figure this out real quick here. Yep. Just bear with me. Share my screen.
Kelsey, do the Jeopardy song, please.
Yeah, exactly here. okay. Yeah, it's not giving me the choice to share Firefox, which I don't understand. So I've got a choice to share the entire screen. Yeah. That's what I did. So let me see if it will do this right. Okay. I'm going to try this.
Yep.
Maybe this is a hack. So let me know, or what are you seeing right now?
Oh, okay. Now I'm seeing paw.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay. So here's all I did. I went to this website and I just grabbed copy.
Yeah.
Here, as you can see, I just grabbed a bunch of stuff. I'm going to copy and paste this. I'm going to go over to Benson and I'm going to create a blueprint. A blueprint is the optimal language for your ideal buyer. I'm going to call this pause. I'll call this pause too, just in case we get it on cash. I just copied and pasted this in here. We limit you to 300 words. We don't want you to do too much. And I'm just going to do the same thing I did a while ago, which is just, you know, let Benson do its little thing. Go grab yourself a cup of coffee if you have time, if you're super fast. So it takes just a few seconds to create one of these. And as we're waiting for this here, it's probably going, hey, wasn't there one just done like this? So it's like, yeah. There we go. Okay. So there we go. Blueprint. Okay. Boom. Niche, pet beds, pet supplies, dog products. Who's the avatar? Pet owners, dog lovers. This is very interesting. Okay. I don't know if you sell cats, but let's say that you don't. Do you sell cats?
No, not on this site yet.
Okay. So we just delete it. Just boom. Yep. So that's pretty much as simple as this. Comfortable and stylish bed for their dog, get furniture clean and protected, you know, have a durable, long-lasting pet bed, keep their home clean, provide rest. Their dreams is find the perfect bed that's both functional and stylish, comfortable and supportive place for doggy to rest. Okay. This is, you know, so we got the promises, all the promises you would make. Negative statistics, like just something that you might want to tell some people. What are bad habits? Setting for subpar pet beds, not replacing old and worn out beds. So it's finding all the stuff that's bad. What are the false solutions, mistaken beliefs, myths, lies, topics? You've got a foundation to write every email, everything that you ever need to write here. So it figured out that, okay, this is the world's most comfortable and stylish pet beds that blend seamlessly into your home decor, are easy to clean and maintain, and provide ultimate comfort for your pet without having to hide them in the corner. So that's kind of interesting, without having to hide them in the corner.
Yeah.
That's, again, it's you see the little nuances of the copy. Now, this is not copy. This is the foundation for copy. Why does it work? Well, let's see how it wrote. It offers both style and function for their furry friends. Notice we're changing how we talk about dogs. Easy to clean. Orthopedic memory foam. Is that true?
Yep.
Okay. Water and odor resistant. This was deduced from just look at all the features here. This was deduced in 15, 20 seconds from a copy and paste. And then I will simply go into Project Creator and go, what do I need for this particular product? And I can write an advertorial. I could write endless amounts of emails. We promised 30 days of emails. So let's just do that. Paw two. Click into email generator. Pause emails. And what I can do is use the magic creator, which everything in Benson, you'll see the magic button. It's just kind of fun this way. But if I know that I want a specific thing, like if I want content, let's say I know I want there to be content, I'll just go to the content email generator and click, look at this. I don't have to fill out anything. It's ridiculous. I just click the magic button. You'll see that this sounds nothing like ChatGPT. Okay, I can read this. You might think a worn-out dog bed is bad news, but let me tell you something surprising. As a fellow dog lover, I've seen firsthand that a well-worn dog bed can actually be a great sign. So this is a contrarian thing, okay? It means your fur buddy uses it frequently, but there's a catch. It can also be a health hazard. See how this completely loops you in to thinking like, wait, that's not true. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, does this sound like anything Chat could write? It's a nasty fact. It collects dirt, pet hair, dust mites, all sorts of allergies. Don't start panicking yet. On the bright side, this gives you a perfect opportunity. So this is just all content here. It just doesn't know your name. So you have to pull in your name. With wagging tails and warm regards.
It's crazy. That's awesome.
Now, okay. I'm going to save this, but this is where it gets really cool. Let's say that I know that I have a, I'm writing to all women and I just want to be softer. I just want to be, let's make it warmer, shall we? Mm-hmm. I can see what that would look like. An old pet bed can accumulate dirt. That's definitely not a situation we want for our trusted furry companions, but there's no need to stress. In every cloud, there's a silver lining. So let's just get soft, right? It takes the same persuasion patterns that Vincent created over here, doesn't recreate the subject lines, and boom, you've got a soft version of this if you want it. For example, if you just don't like this particular version, or let's just say that I want to add a little woo-woo compellent. Let's do a smartass, okay? Let's do a smartass compellent. Let's make this a little bit sassy and scroll down here to smartass. Your dog's disgusting bed is actually a silver lining. I mean, well, now you got a dog bed that looks like it survived World War III. Okay. I immediately am going to keep reading this because this is kind of like okay. Believe it or not, this doggy disaster zone is not all bad news. See a bed that looks like it's been a victim of your pups. I see stuffing I kill. Okay. So just tell me this sounds like I didn't write it or like a professional copywriter didn't write it. It's funny. It's whimsical. This is not AI as you know it, but let's get into something. One more thing. I could do 30 days of emails, as you can see, in 3 minutes just by clicking a button. Wow. This is how difficult this was. Or I can come in here and do something as crazily advanced as a direct response sales letter lead. So I'll just do lead. And let's say I want to test a new lead for a sales letter. Let's go over here to pause. Click sales letter lead. Lead for pause. And I'm doing this because a sales letter lead is, okay, this is as much stuff as Benson will ever ask you for. It needs to know your name. Do you have a nickname? What's the last name? Do you have testimonials? Just asking you for all this kind of stuff. I mean, I could just go into and tell you all this stuff if you want to. So what's the, is, are you the author of it or?
What, let's see, who should we use?
You have to fill this out once, by the way. This is populating your blueprint.
Yeah, it's just who's the right person.
We could just make up a name.
All right. Let's just say, yeah, let's just put down okay, Kelsey Farrar, whoever.
Okay. I'm just making this up, guys. Don't really say it. Bob. Okay. Okay. Testimonials, blah, 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 testimony. We'll pass all this stuff. We'll okay. Just say, Vincent, we don't care. Just click the magic button. I'm going to write an entire sales letter lead. Okay. Making your home. This is many pet owners think they're giving their pets the best, but reality is many pet beds on the market are subpar. It's the like commercial pet supplies is slowly killing the dream of having a beautiful home that's also pet friendly. Many... making your home look cluttered and your pets uncomfortable so subtly that many pet owners don't even notice, but you notice. And I, Bob Ferrari, notices. Big name pet companies with their mass produced and unattractive beds, clever marketing strategies, years in the making. So, I mean, this is as direct response as you can get, right? I purposely chose a framework that I knew was very, very direct response just to show you like we can just go far extreme, like a total direct response sales. This wrote the entire lead of a sales page. So that it's building on like the horror of having your bed. It's completely not soft at all. But of course, if I wanted it softer, what do? I save it. I come in here. I say, I just want, let's just make this softer, make it warmer. I can come in here and do it. I can tone it down a bit. Just tone it. Now just watch it. It's like just going to be the same exact persuasion pattern, just softer. So now it's going to read more like an article from a typical dog bed company, you know, typical pet owner company. And I'm just going to replace it here so that we don't have to wait very long for it. So boom, this is what Vincent does, but notice that it's ridiculously different than anything that ChatGPT can do. And we have frameworks from the most successful campaigns in history, including last thing I'll show you real quickly here. If we want to do ads real quick, this is something we're just super proud of. Our ad generator, we're trained exclusively on ads that we know made over $100,000.
Wow.
So what's the name of the offer, by the way?
I think you said Bob Ferrari.
Oh no, the name of the offer. What are you selling? Let's give it a something that we can sell, like the super pet bed or whatever it
is. Yeah, sure. So let's give 40% off the new cooling bed.
Okay, so let's just say new cooling bed. So
yeah.
Okay, the 40% off, it'll ask you for that later. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to skip the, I don't need a catchy phrase or anything. So I'm going to let Benson do all the hard work for me. So I'm just going to start letting it write ads for me. New cooling bed, ultimate solution of boring, uncomfortable pet beds. Okay, you've been struggling to find a pet bed that balances both style and comfort. You're not alone. It's a common complaint. On top of that, it's the centerpiece of your pet's life. Their bed turns into an eyesore. Here's the truth. So this is a more of a typical ad you would see, like a typical ad you would read on YouTube. But this is created magically with absolutely. So in other words, this is all Benson's internal training.
Jeez.
And you can do this, like you can do all sorts of different frameworks in here for these ads. The best gift, Eureka moment. The Eureka moment's a lot of fun. So let's worry about your credentials. Pro dog trainer. Okay. You don't have to write anything. So you just type, you know, simple things like that. Now, I'm not saying you are a pro dog trainer, but let's just click the magic button. And you'll watch this happen here. Obviously, I typed something better than pro dog trainer. Found the single most effective solution to eliminate these issues called okay. And our pet beds, I'm trying to scroll down here. Sorry. And our pet beds provide ultimate comfort, your pet's aching joints and muscles. This means you can relax naturally with less discomfort. You'll have a stylish addition to your home that's durable and easy to clean. So you get the idea. I mean, you can write direct response ads this fast. And you can just keep going every single time you need an ad. Just click, click, and you get a whole different ad. So you can run 30 ads if you want to in 30 seconds.
Jeez, it's absolutely amazing.
So that is what we built, and it's just getting better and better. And this is, as you can see, is completely conducive to anything e-com. So,
right. Kels, make sure you put the URL in there, okay, into the comments. Okay, now it is after one. So we had three questions, but I guess we're going to have to pass on those today.
We can we can bounce them really quick if we can.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kels, let's just go through them quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, some might not be super relevant to you specifically, but what do you think about content generated by AI and Data Dive or Jungle Scout for Amazon listings? Any other interested tools for recommendations?
Yeah. So I'm not the Amazon guy, which is why we're pulling on Matt, because he's the guy that knows Amazon. So to be honest with you, I don't know about Data Dive or Jungle Scout for either one of those things. But if they've been trained on specifically Amazon stuff and they use this, they can't use pre-prompting because we have it trademarked. But mm-hmm. if they use something similar to that, as long as they're not letting the AI deduce it, because most of the time, these companies let the AI try to deduce it itself. And it's just not up to par to do that, in my opinion. Just not going to give you the best copy.
I'm curious, who are you bringing over? Matt?
Stafford.
Matt, who?
Matt Stafford.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good.
Okay. Next, Barton, I didn't watch the demo clip, but Benson can use other languages than English, like German, French, Dutch, European language. Is that right?
Yeah, so we have translations for, I think, 9 languages in there right now. Just click a button. But that being said, AI, as in all of AI, is not the best marketing translator. It just doesn't have that ability, as in anyone doesn't have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if 5 is going to be better. Opus is supposedly better. We're going to start testing with Opus. But right now, it gets you 85% there. So in other words, if you translate to Dutch, it's going to be 85. You'll have to tweak a few little things here and there to say, oh, that's too formal, but it's pretty damn good. It's the best that the AI has.
Okay. And our last question, how often should you be emailing people on your list? What is too often?
Well, I'll tell you, it's all based on interest. It's like, if you send your list, I think you should be emailing every single day. So if you send your list and you just give them the chance to raise their hand and say something that I'm interested in this, then you can segment your list, and the people who click, you can email them more often. So that's one way to do it. So you have a general list that you email once a week, and then you have a high response list that you email every single day, and at least 3 days a week. I mean, it's just, my friend Dean Jackson says it the best. It's like, you only email on the days you want to make money.
I like that.
There you go.
Okay. So I think that's it. Man, you're awesome. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, obviously you can ping me on it. You can go to Benson.ai. You can go to johnbenson.com and on this J-O-N, my parents couldn't spell. And also if you go to johnbenson.com/YouTube, you'll get the YouTube channel. It's got hundreds of videos on it. So
very good. So we're going to go, we're not going to do an ad read right now, Kels. We'll go over to the wheel.
Well, I think, John, if you need to get going, we can say goodbye to you now. And,
yeah, I do. But thank you guys so much. It's been a blast. Sorry I got carried away. Showing the baby, it's going to get carried away. So
yeah, no problem at all. Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcast, click over here. Lunch with the